Are we ready to bring her up?
Yeah.
Our next storyteller is Miss Natalie Valentin.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Front row. So my story starts junior year, right before fall break. My boyfriend at the time and I had planned this sweet bike trip from Burlington up to the border of Canada. And we were super stoked. We had an adventure grant. We had planned our route. Everything was going to be amazing. And it wasn't until about 2 or 3 days we were supposed to leave that we started thinking about the important stuff, like the fact that I didn't have a bike rack, he didn't have a bike, I had never ridden long distances in clippy shoes, kind of the things we probably should have thought through. So we frantically start calling up friends, trying to see if we can get our stuff together. And it isn't until the morning that we're supposed to leave that his friend Al gives him a call and just says, "Dude, I hear you need a bike." So we go over to his apartment and he proceeds to give us bikes, bike tools, bike pump, shoes, bike shorts, absolutely everything. Pretty much just shoves us into my car saying, "Doesn't matter, don't worry about it, just go. I don't care what you do, you just have to go." And so we went. And we end up parking my car just north of Burlington in Sandbar State Park. And we get on the road, end up being a beautiful day. We bike through the Grand Isles, up to the border of Canada where our campsite is, and at least where our campsite is supposed to be. It turns out that Google Maps lied and led us to a sea of cornfields. At this point, it's about 6:30 p.m., beautiful sunset, but it's dark and we have nowhere to sleep. So we end up backtracking about 30 minutes until we find this abandoned RV park, which is closed for the season, and decide, good enough, we'll stay here. So we bike round out back, find this open field, and start setting up our tent. When out of the darkness emerges a man in full camo, holding a hunting bow and arrow. And he just comes up and says, "Park's closed." So we're terrified. We start rambling about what happened, and we ask if he owns the place, and he just says, "I don't own these lands. I just hunt them." So we're about to shit our pants. I'm not sure if I should make a run for it, make an orderly exit, or just start crying. And he just kind of looks thoughtfully up at the moon, turns his gaze over to a grove of trees, and says, "Cold north wind blowing through these hills tonight. You might want to move your tent." So terrifying, but friendly and helpful. So we make moves to do that, and he just disappears. Just disapparates into the darkness. I don't know if he's a ghost, if he's real. We aren't sure if we're gonna be alive in the morning, but we just decide, set up our tent, cross our fingers, and we were alive in the morning. So that was great. Hop on our bikes and bike up to the border of Canada. Of course, the Canadian Border Patrol is lovely. They're friendly. They think what we're doing is hilarious. We pass through with no problems. At this point, neither of us are 21, so our first order of events is to find a place to buy some beer and shotgun. And we managed to bike for about 20 miles without finding a single place to buy beer. And at this point, it's about 1 p.m., and we have 55 miles to go back to my car. And so, tails between our legs, we give up, and we go back to the border. And naturally, the U.S. Border Patrols are dicks. They do not think what we're doing is funny. They don't see why not as a good reason for biking across the border and back in 2 hours. I think it's a great idea. But eventually, we make it through back to Vermont, and we stop at the visitor center. And this guy rolls up looking super legit with his fancy bike trailer, bike glasses, bike jersey. And it turns out he'd left Montreal at 7 p.m. the night before, biked through the night, and was on his way to a show in Burlington at 8 p.m. So he gets on his way, and David and I follow a couple minutes later, feeling very inferior, and immediately get hit with an absolutely brutal headwind. It starts raining a little bit, not a downpour, but very unpleasant. And it ends up taking us way longer than we expected to get back to my car. We finally get to the bridge right before the parking lot at about 7 p.m. and we are just exhausted. And we stop on this bridge, and it's one of these perfectly cliche moments where the moon is reflecting on the waves and we're howling and just feeling so alive and raw and wonderful. Every adventure has to have that moment. And so we get back to our car and hop on the highway, and a mouse crawls out of my engine and starts running around across my dashboard. And I try to smack it off with windshield wipers. It goes back in. I'm exhausted. I don't care. I ignore it. Deal with it later. And it worked out. Right afterwards, we see a guy on the side of the road on the bike trying to hitch a ride. And we wonder, oh, maybe it's that guy from earlier this morning. And so we pull over, and it turns out it's the same guy. And it's 8 p.m. at this point, and we're a half hour drive from Burlington. And so we decide to give him a ride. We cram him in the back, and we drive to Arts Riot. I don't know if any of you have ever been there. It's a very hipster music bar venue in Burlington. And it turns out that he's been touring around North America promoting this independent bike film festival. Pretty cool. So he's really grateful and insists on buying us some beer and some tea eggs, which are eggs hard boiled in tea. So they're all colorful. Bizarre combination, but worked out. We were hungry at the time. And so he needs to go into the opposite room and set up this film festival. And there are only a couple other people here at this point, but we figure it just late arrivals. And before he goes, he hands us the program so that we can take a look at the different films before we go in. And we look at the front page. It says Bike Smut. Okay, interesting name. We open it up. First line. Woman goes to the bike mechanic looking for some lubrication. Okay. Somewhat vague. Go flip to the next one. Put the fun between your legs. Flip to the back page. There's our boy Phil, bike jersey and all, cupping this super busty chick from behind with the title, Come and Get It, featuring Reverend Phil Poppycock. And it is at this point that we find out we have found our way to a bike porn film festival. And Phil comes back in, super excited, immediately launches into his plot line. All right, so, stay with me. Girl wakes up, Polaroid picture of a dick next to her pillow. gets led around on a scavenger hunt around the city. I have this one scene in a public housing complex because I wanted to bring in the social commentary. We don't know what is going on. And then he looks at us and says, well, you're going to stay, right? And Dave and I, we kind of glance at each other. Middlebury, need to go back. Tired, long day. And he just stops and looks me dead in the face and says, you know, I think you're just afraid of experiencing some really high quality pornography. At which point we say, you're right, fuck it, we'll stay. And so we go into the other room, and we watch this very artful, Western-themed lesbian threesome in the woods with ambiguous Eastern European accents, like, I hear you have the sexiest bike in the West. Not really sure how it all comes together. It was hilarious. I'll mention at this point, there were literally three other people there, and this was my first time ever watching any porn. So quite enlightening. And we probably would have stayed for more because it was so absurd, but up on stage there was a yoga mat and a bike. And we did not want to stick around to find out what that was for. No live performances in the middle of this. So we stuck out the back and drove home to Middlebury and called it a day. So basically, it started as a shit show, and it ended at a sex show. And although I'll never be able to quite look at a bike the same way again, all I can say is I'm happy we went.